Welcome to Infinite Scale, the ultimate guide to growth for managed service providers. In this series, MSP entrepreneur James Vickery and author of Infinite Scale shares what he has learned about taking control of your business so you can break free from the tools, win more customers, and be more profitable.
Welcome, everyone. It's Patrick Doherty here again with James Vickery. Hi, James.
Hey, Patrick.
How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing real well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So here we are at episode number 8. So
we made it.
We made it. So this is the final piece of the series of episodes we wanted to do on James's book, Infinite Scale, the ultimate guide for growing your MSP. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about, now that you've kind of got your business under control in a sense that you've maybe thought about outsourcing options or whatever you needed to do to tackle some of those bigger problems that we talked about, what do you do with your day? What are you going to focus on, and how do you actually capitalize on a new position and a better opportunity for your business?
Yeah.
Over to you, James.
Well, I guess, yeah, what I wanted to talk about here, Patrick, is I don't know anybody that said, I'm going to start a business and I can't wait to like answer the phone all day, or I can't wait to do email. You know, I don't think anybody set out to do that. I think we all thought that, okay, we'll do this thing and that thing and that thing. We might have to work a little hard at first, and then it just works. And, you know, for me, that was not my experience at all. You know, as I said earlier in the podcast, 10 years in, I'm like, this is not working. I'm working harder than I ever have worked before, and I'm not getting the result. And I think some might say that's the definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. And you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to keep getting the same result. So what we tried to do in this podcast, you know, in the previous episodes, is talk about some of the ways that you can use leverage and some of the ways that you can change your mindset so that you can really scale up and grow your business. And so, you know, in my experience, what I found is that I needed to step into my value. And for a long while there, my value had to be sales. It had to be sales, right? Because, you know, we were still a small company. Yes, I was very technically strong, but being technically strong does not grow the business in isolation. It just won't do that. And what I found is that when I really looked at it after 10 years, I'd been looking at this box in front of me, i.e. my computer, for the last decade, and I've been looking for all the answers in there. And all of a sudden, as I started to free up my time, it was like, where do I need to look now? What do I need to spend my time on now so that I'm in total control of the growth of this business?
Sales was the next muscle you really had to develop. You'd done your 10 years in the tech trench. Now you're jumping into the sales trench. But why sales? Why not some other part of the business like finances or HR or whatever? Like, why sales?
Yeah, good question. I spent a lot of time looking at MSPs these days through Benchmark 365, and often am asked, hey, can you take a look at our business? Can you take a look at our financials? Can you take a look at how we've structured the team? And often what is the case is that there's nobody dedicated to the sales function. And for me, I do not know one organization anywhere in the world that is growing, that is scaling up, that doesn't have someone dedicated to sales. But salespeople are like super expensive, right?
Yeah.
You know, like if you, you know, sort of just starting out, or you're at a relatively small size as a business, nothing wrong with that. But then going out and hiring someone as business development can be really expensive, and there's a bit of an unknown. Will they be able to actually deliver enough sales to justify their salary? So for me, it was a logical choice that had to be me. I didn't have a lot of capital and I needed to grow. But what are some of the other things that people need to focus on? Well, maybe if you've got that down pat and you're really good at sales, then it's product, in my view, because you're a business and your business has, you know, a primary product or service, which might be IT support. But what are some of the other things that you can bring to the table for your customers? So you need to immerse yourself in some form of product development. Maybe that's just something you resell and getting a really good competency around that product, or maybe it's something that you develop from the ground up. But your customers want you to be bringing new opportunities to them. They value you as their partner. If you're only bringing one game to the table, they might start to look elsewhere for other solutions to their problems. So I think that there are a couple of key things that I would be focusing on as a leader of an MSP. Once I get support under control, once I get that business as usual under control, I need to level up into something else.
But it's probably fair to say on the product, it's a different kind of expertise you're going to bring to that, right? It's yes, you have to be an expert in it, but not expert in the tech of it. It's about the expertise as a product offering.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think we learn to be a coder, learn to be a developer, and we'll see you again in 10 years, right? And you're still going to have a sales problem. You still potentially have a marketing problem. Now you've got this bright, shiny widget that you've developed in your business. But I think if you get good at leverage, you start to think about, actually, I've got a story about this. I probably about 5 years ago, my wife and I said, yeah, we don't know anything about coding. Everything's software development now. So we actually went and did a training course together. We spent the weekend and we did this coders camp actually here in Sydney, and it was really cool. It was really great. And you know what the outcome of that was for me? I now knew how to hire people to do coding.
Right.
There was enough complexity in it for me that I realized, hey, I'm going to be sitting in front of the keyboard like learning this and building upon the skills that they taught me at this weekend course, or I can employ somebody, or I can outsource the development function for my businesses, but now I have a good concept of what to do, right? Whereas I didn't before. And so, you know, I think that either way, whatever happens from here on out, if you do start to get some stability and some scale, hopefully you've gotten some tips out of this podcast, what will happen next is then it's all about leverage. It's all about which providers can I leverage, or which individuals can I leverage to help me accomplish my goals faster.
So a big part of actually taking control of your business is letting go and how we think about stuff, right? You don't have to own everything and manage everything yourself. You find the experts and the providers that can deliver for you, and you have to trust that.
Yeah. I think that 80-20 rule, we talk about that all the way through the book. It's something that a lot of people talk about, the, you know, 80, where do you spend 80% of your time? Well, that actually plays into other parts of your business as well. Will people get it right 100% of the time? No, they won't. So if you employ somebody or you outsource something, will they get it right 100% of the time? No, but if they get it right 80 or 90% of the time, that's pretty good, right? Because you're not doing it and you work around the edges to tighten those processes so that it actually works better for you and your business, but you're not down in the mines working on this thing, chipping away at these things while all of the opportunities are passing you by. And I think for a lot of MSPs that we talk to, there is so much opportunity, Patrick. Like, it's insane, man. You know, there's a $1 trillion services market. Every single business out there is calling out for some sort of assistance, some sort of support, some sort of advice to help them run their businesses productively. And you're right there. You're right there in their town. You're right there in the city. But if you're stuck in the trenches, you're not having those conversations.
Right. So there's a lot of opportunity out there. $1 trillion market's a big number. Okay. Yeah. Can feel like a meaningless number in a way.
Yeah.
How do you go about deciding, you know, or building a picture of what the opportunity might look like for your specific MSP?
Yeah. That's a really good question, and probably the hardest question all of us have to ask ourselves. Where do we want to be? You know, it's always about trying to begin with the end in mind and have a little bit of imagination about what the end looks like and putting some realism to it. Like, do I want a $1 billion company? That'd be nice, but why don't we start with a couple of $1 million, right? Why don't we start with $1 million? Or why don't we start, depending on what stage you're at, why don't we start with $200,000, whatever it might be. But having a clear goal of where you want to be really sets the pace. It really does. We just did an exercise with Jeremy Johnson from Go Computers, and we mapped out what we call a hit list, right? I know it sounds really bad, but a hit list, which is that what revenue I want to accomplish in the company. This is how big I want the company to be. And then we said, okay, well, then why don't we backfill it with what are the products and services that you offer? So we like created a little table or a little chart and said, okay, well, we do cloud and we do internet and we do managed services and we do this, we do that. Now let's put some numbers next to it. How many of those are we going to sell this month? How many of those can we sell next month? And that creates some momentum. That creates a target to focus on, right? And so I think having this sort of broader vision is important, really hard to do when you're in the trenches. It's really hard. I have to say, honestly, it is really hard to have an imagination when your phone's ringing every 5 minutes. It is really hard to have an imagination when you've got an inbox box full of alerts from your RMM tool, right? And so, you know, what we're trying to accomplish through the book and through this podcast is to say, how do we get you to that next level up so that you can start to imagine where it is that you want to be? Some people don't have billion-dollar goals. Some people don't have trillion-dollar goals, right? I get that. But having some form of goal and then putting the systems and mechanisms in place and getting you right to execute that is, to me, that's really important.
Let's dive in a little bit more on sales, because I really do think that it's kind of key. And, you know, really, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, that's really what an entrepreneur is a salesman, probably above anything else. So in your quest to become an entrepreneur and an excellent salesman, what did you do? How did you rewire your techie brain into that kind of like sales mentality and, you know, turn it into something that could work for you and feel natural?
Yeah, well, the first thing that comes up a lot that I hear from MSPs every single day is, well, I'm just not very good at sales. I hear it all the time. And this might be a business owner that's been at it for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And the first thing I say to them is, well, you must have been at some point, right? Because, like, you know, at some point you started your business, you knocked on a couple of doors, or you got a couple of referrals, or something happened where someone trusted you enough to buy from you. And you're here today and you're talking to me today because you've now got a new challenge, which is delivering what you've sold, right? But you're saying that you're not good at sales. Now, for me, what happened is that when I'm getting great at tech for 10 years, I'm immersing myself in technology. And some of that is just baptism by fire, as everyone can relate to. Some of that's just like having to figure stuff out, you know, having to figure Exchange out, having to figure out SQL problem, having to figure out a network problem. And so I got good at technology by immersing myself at times inadvertently in solving problems for customers, right? But I lost that salesmanship. I lost that ability because I felt really frustrated. It's like, how can I keep focusing on sales when I got to go away and deliver it? But now I solve the capacity problem. And I'm like, well, what do I need to do to immerse myself in sales? And so I'll give you a few examples of that. One is that in order to immerse myself in sales, I needed to immerse myself in sales content, not technology content. So I'd start listening to podcasts just like you guys are today. I would listen to, there's a really great podcast out there called the Advanced Selling Podcast. And they do a show that's kind of like a radio show. It's kind of like a, yeah, really great to listen to while you're driving. And if I was on the way to a sales meeting, I'd be listening to those guys because they'd be just talking that language and they'd be giving me all those tips. And I thought it was really great. When I got home at the end of the day and when I went down and went to bed for the night, I would have a sales book in my hand. I would have some kind of book about sales and how to be better at sales and how to accomplish more at sales and so on. When I was reaching out to people, if I was reaching out to a vendor, I would reach out to the salesperson, someone that was really good at it, and say, hey, can I have a cup of coffee? Just want to bounce a few ideas off you. You've been really successful at sales. I'm kind of trying to learn and trying to get better at it. And the good news is it didn't take 10 years. It took me some practice. It took me a couple of years. But what I saw is every time I went to a sales meeting, it was an opportunity to really get that skill down pat. And I would get to the end of that sales call, that sales meeting, and I would write down what I did well and what I didn't do so well and whether I won or lost, right? And then I would move on to the next one and I would sharpen and do a bit better and a bit better and a bit better. And the reality is most MSPs are doing that every day, but in the tech vector of their business, trying to improve the way they deliver the technical service, the same has to happen in sales. And the same has to happen in every element of the business. But I think, as you said, sales is a really big priority for MSPs if they want to grow.
And sales can be scary, right? Because you actually have to deal with another human being. So you don't have that protection of the computer between you and the person. And that's, I mean, I think that's just hard for anybody, right? Like it's you just got to practice it. There's just no way around it.
Yeah. And it really can affect your confidence. Touched on that in the book and touched on that in the podcast is that sales is definitely a confidence game. You want to be able to go in with giving the customer a sense that you can accomplish whatever it is the customer wants you to do, right? Or having the confidence to say, actually, you're not a fit. We're not going to be able to deliver this, right? Because of X, Y, or Z. So that requires a lot of work. That requires a lot of self-development. But I think something that somewhere in the journey popped into my mind is that when I'm in a sales meeting, these are just people just like me, right? You know, even if it was a big corporation and I'd feel really threatened, like, oh, no, you know, I'm just little James and I won't be able to. And I started to realize that this is just like another guy, you know, and he's just trying to get his job done and I'm trying to get my job done, and started just being a little more human about it, you know, instead of regimented about it. And then it delivered.
Yeah. And they just got problems that need to be solved, right? Like, and that's what you're there for. So
yeah,
an important part of that is kind of really listening to what they're saying.
Yes.
That really is really their problem. Because it might not be what you're necessarily trying to sell them.
Yeah. 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 And I think as IT guys and girls, sometimes, you know, we're sitting there in that sales meeting, we've got this computer screen up in front of us, you know, we've got a laptop up in front and we're typing, and, you know, sales is not like that, right? Yeah. You know, it's important to jot down a few notes and make sure that you recap what was said. But, you know, we tend to take a very IT approach to sales, but sales in its essence is not IT, it's communication. And it's being able to have a conversation one-to-one or one-to-many and to instill confidence in the prospect.
And I guess we did sort of touch on this earlier, and is the, you know, sales is more than just the new customer, it's the existing customer, right?
Yeah.
So that's just as important to keep them front and center, to make sure that leaky bucket doesn't leak too much.
Yeah, let's not lose sight of that, right? And I think that there's a lot to talk about. Maybe we'll do another podcast and just talk about that in more detail. But let's actually take a bigger step. Sales actually helps you develop your products and services. Without sales, you just keep doing the definition of insanity. You just keep doing the same thing over and over again, time and again. The wonderful thing about sales, and I truly mean this, the wonderful thing about sales is that a customer will tell you, no, right? We're not buying that because it doesn't do X, Y, or Z for our business. And that is what you take back to the tool shed, right? And say, what do we need to do to get a customer like that over the line? What do we need to change? But if you're not out doing sales and you're not out there talking to your existing customers, you're never going to know, right? Now you're listening to vendors tell you what it is that you should be doing. And I think there's a danger in that, right? Because the vendor is taking a very global approach to these things. This should work for you. It worked for me, right? But I think that really when it comes to sales, it's talking, engaging with your community, right? Whatever that might be, that your existing customer base, you might be small, you might be just talking to a handful of people. Get their feedback through the sales process. When the customer says no, go back to them and say, which elements of this did not tick the right boxes? Price is one of them, right? Of course. But price usually doesn't come into it if you're ticking all of the other boxes. Is that a fair statement? You know, if you're absolutely, you're able to meet every single requirement of that customer, the price is less sensitivity about price. When you're just commodity selling, like it's just a boilerplate sale to every customer out there, price is a big deal. Price, it all comes down to the economics at that point, because you look exactly the same as the company next door.
Okay, James. So that brings us to, I guess, the end of this arc of episodes for Infinite Scale, where we've walked through some of the key tenets of the book. So I guess as a way just to wrap this little series up, what do you think are a couple of the really key high-level things that an MSP needs to really internalize if they're gonna grow and scale their business successfully?
That's a really good question. Even in the book, we kind of cap off with that as well, as what are some of the things that you need to do and focus on. And one of the things we say in there is to get a mirror, you know, to really have a look at your business, look at you, and is this where you want to be? As I said before, you know, we tend to focus on a whole bunch of stuff in our businesses that ultimately ends up being the definition of insanity. We keep doing the same thing over and over again. No one set out to go into business and do email. No one set out to go into business to do tickets. So maybe just as a reflection on the podcast is to go away and say, like, where do you want to be, right? Where exactly do you want to see yourself in the business? And which brings to the second tip on that is then what do you need to do, right? So we've looked at where we're at. What do we actually need to do? Does there need to be some leverage for you and your business? Could that leverage be outsourcing? Could that leverage be hiring more? Could that leverage be automation in some way? Is there some way that you can get yourself out of the trenches so that you can focus on that thing that you really want to accomplish? And I think that's mindset. And I think that there is a new set of systems that we as leaders need to put in place in order to be able to accomplish our goals.
Thanks, James. That's a really nice way to end this arc of episodes, taking everybody through the main points and tenets of Infinite Scale, your amazing book for MSPs. But we're going to continue the journey, right?
Yeah, man. I really thoroughly enjoyed this, Patrick. It'd be great to just keep talking about stuff that's relevant to MSPs.
Yeah, so stay tuned and look for the next episodes, which will be airing shortly. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to get your own copy of Infinite Scale, just go to benchmark365.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes, just drop us a line at hello@benchmark365.com. Thanks for listening.